going to get this going. And to start out, if you don't care, just state your name and where you live right now. You can just go ahead and do that.
I'm Sophia Holliday. Mm-hmm. I live at 157 Baker Avenue, Hazard, Kentucky. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sophie, and what years were you at the settlement school?
I went there in the fall of 31. Mm-hmm. Graduated in 1940. So I was there from 1931 mm-hmm. to 1940.
And now, did you live at the settlement school?
I lived in the settlement school. I think I lived in every dormitory except the boys.
Well, that's good.
That was called Eastover at that time. Yeah. And I worked there. Mm-hmm. I had work responsibilities about every dormitory. That was on the campus.
Did other people in your family go to school up there too?
Yes. My sister and I went at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Thelma, she's one who's gone now. She and I went in 1931. And then we had two brothers, Elmer and Arvel, that came 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Or the year. I guess they came a year later.
Mm-hmm.
And then another brother that came 2 years or 3 years later. I can't remember just when he came. Elson, I think you've met Elson.
Mm-hmm.
He came. Then I had a stepsister that came and stayed a while. She didn't finish.
Mm-hmm.
Elson left to go to service, and I guess Arvel did too. Elmer graduated there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Hazard, or?
No, I lived at Erie, Kentucky, down on Troublesome, near home place.
Mm-hmm.
I was a resident of the home place community.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in that community.
So how did you hear about the Hyman Settlement School?
I don't even remember. My mother died in 31. She died in February. And my dad, of course, was just at a loss as to what to do with two little girls.
Mm-hmm.
He had two older boys and two girls, and then two younger boys. Mother died in childbirth.
Oh,
and that was when my brother Sam was born. He lives in Lexington now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Miss Hale probably was the big influence. Lula Hale.
Mm-hmm.
Either Lula Hale or Ida K. Smith. I'm not sure. Ida K., I think, taught at Hyman at that time. And they talked to my dad, and when Miss Foss and Miss Stone accepted us, and he agreed to take us.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't real willing to go. We didn't want to leave home, but
mm-hmm.
we went and lived at the little girl's house. And I know you're going to say, how did you feel?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, how would you feel if you'd been taken away from home when you were that
hard.
Young? We were
yeah.
8 and 10 years old
right.
at that time. And, of course, we hated to see Dad leave. I guess we just bawled.
Yeah,
anyway, we knew, we were told it was the best for us, and we knew it was, because if we had stayed at home, we'd have had to walk to school, to a one-room school, which we'd done some, but it was just too cold in the wintertime, you know, do that. We were too small, so. Anyway, we both stayed at little girl's house. Till we graduated from there into other dormitories.
Mm-hmm. You were saying you had to work. What was some of the work you had to do?
Everybody worked.
When you lived?
Everybody had responsibilities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how young you were or how old.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked, started out, and at our age, I guess, as I remember, we had the responsibility of probably emptying the trash cans in all the children's rooms and in the faculty rooms, too, in the dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
And emptying the I guess helping clean the rooms, emptying the, we had at that time, we didn't have running water.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you've heard that before, haven't you?
Yeah.
So we had to empty all the pans and everything. Had slop jars in the rooms to empty the wastewater in. Mm-hmm. Then we had chambers instead of commodes. Mm-hmm. So we helped empty all those things.
So everybody was.
Those rooms had to be cleaned every day, getting mm-hmm. clean. Mm-hmm. Mm. So we graduated from that into a little bit more, a little heavier responsibilities. Making beds, we just did whatever there was we were assigned to. There usually was older girls who were in the 8th grade or maybe in high school. If they were high school, they were the what we call the head girl, and then two or three girls under her, and then the little girls on down. There'd be sometimes five and six in the dormitory to get all the work done, because you were limited on the time, you know, before school started in the morning and mm-hmm. in the afternoon.
So you did your work before school?
And after school.
After school.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you lived in every dorm except the boys. How many would that have been?
Well, I lived in the little girl's house. I lived in Orchard House, which is my stone building now. Mm-hmm. Hillside was, girls lived there. Mm-hmm. We lived there. We lived, I lived at the cabin and did the work at the cabin for Miss Gum when she was the lady that lived there. And that's when they used to have the craft, one room set up for the baskets and all the crafts and everything, and I was responsible for helping arrange that and keep it clean for visitors when they came in.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about having to work every day, or was that?
It was just part of living, we were supervised in doing that. It taught us, I think. I appreciate it to this day. It was really good training for all of us. We even worked school buildings. Mm-hmm. My sister worked. I don't think I ever had the responsibility of working at a schoolhouse, but the grade school building was one that my sister worked at, and she loved it because Florine Whitaker, I think, was one of the head girls there, and she just loved her. She was a good supervisor, and she enjoyed that, and we worked all the school buildings.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess as far as...
Of course, the boys worked too, but they worked, you know, on the
right.
grounds. They kept the grounds, mm-hmm. worked under the supervision of Miss Burns, and they worked at the barn, and worked all the dairy. We had dairy at that mm-hmm. time, so they had all that responsibility.
One thing I thought was interesting talking to people that lived there was... your dining situation, what was that like? I know that y'all ate meals together, but...
They sure did.
Maybe tell me about that. What was it like to eat together?
That was a real experience, real good experience. The faculty ate with the students at all the meals, and they had assigned tables. Mm-hmm. There was a faculty member at the head of the table and at the foot of the table. We had several long tables. And the children were assigned to different tables. We rotated, so we had the experience of eating it with different faculty. And there was always a blessing before mm-hmm. the meals. And sometimes a little song, trying to say, I can't remember now what we call them, but anyway.
Just like a song for the blessing?
Sometimes song for the blessing, or a blessing, and then, or a little song, and then the blessing, you know. But it's usually a little something like that. And in the evening, I think, I remember, there was always someone who, every table, had the responsibility of reading some passage from the Bible, and then the prayer.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that now, looking back on that now, that, I guess, the influence of
having... Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. I think that was a real influence on about everybody. I'd say two-thirds. Mm-hmm. Of course, there were some probably, and now I would say they didn't object, you know, they didn't approve of it, but I thought it was a very good thing. Mm-hmm. And then we had, on Sunday evening, we usually had what we call it, a Vesper service, something like that, mm-hmm. with, I can't remember how, whether we had, not potluck, I guess we had sack meal.
Yeah, just a light. That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was just, that saved on dishwashing. We didn't, and we had the responsibility of washing dishes, you know, we had.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that.
What was it like doing dishes for, I mean, that many people? How did y'all manage that?
Oh, Missy Elkin. You've heard about Missy Elkin, I think. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Elkin?
I don't know what her first name was.
Elizabeth Elkin, I think, was her name. And she was in charge of the dining room. She was in charge of cooking, the serving of the meals, mm-hmm. washing the dishes, keeping everything clean. She was in charge of the whole thing. She really had a job. And, of course, she had to be pretty strict, and she was. She was real strict. Mm-hmm. But those dishes, when, and whoever... There was a dishwashing crew for each meal while the other work crews went, you know, to various dormitories doing their work. But if you were on the dishwashing crew, well, you had to be there. And you had to wash the dishes the way that you were told to wash them. Mm-hmm. And when you finished, Miss Elkin usually went around these big dish pans. They were huge dish pans that you washed dishes in, rinsed them in, scalded them and everything, put them dry. She'd go around and with her finger and clean those pans. She'd check them to see if there was any grease left at all. If there was, you'd go back and do it over.
Well.
Uh-huh. So that was really close supervision, too. Mm-hmm. So everything was sanitary.
Yeah.
We couldn't sit down to a table without everything being immaculate.
What about the campus in general? Was it pretty, I mean?
Oh, yeah. The whole campus?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everything had to stay neat all the time. If there was, even the grounds, if there was a weed or anything growing up, Miss Burns would see that it got cut right away.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that kind of had an influence on y'all too? Because I know
sure.
that, like Mr. Steele told me when he first came there, that if you went down through town or out, you know, out in the community, and you saw a house
mm-hmm.
that had nice flowers and a very clean porch and a yard, they'd say, there's somebody goes to the Hyman Center on the school. Their kids must go to the Hyman Center
mm-hmm.
on the school.
That's true, yeah. Hmm. Really notice that. Out in the country, especially when you go out,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we go for walks. On Sunday afternoon, we'd have, we could go for walks with supervision. Somebody, some faculty member, one or two, would find out who'd like to go to Comas's Branch or go to Auglin or wherever. And we'd go for a walk on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, that's fine.
But they were supervising us.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just said about James Steele, when we'd look, see somebody's yard or, you know, they got some training.
Yeah.
But that training really has paid off. I really appreciate it. I wouldn't have been, sometimes my family used to call me Miss Elkin. They'd say, "All right, Miss Elkin." And I'd be so fanatic about something being clean, you know.
Well.
So she really was strict on us.
Mm-hmm.
And one job that I don't know if any of the girls have mentioned it, Ruby might have mentioned it to you or somebody, if she worked in the kitchen, there were certain girls that were in charge of beating biscuits. Now, I never did have that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But you've heard of beating biscuits?
Yeah, everybody's mentioned them, that they tasted really good.
They're just about big as a silver dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there were certain ones that had the responsibility of making beaten biscuits, and she taught them how to make those.
And so you didn't learn that?
Oh, I liked them. I liked the biscuits, yeah.
Yeah.
But I never did work in that position.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was usually, if I worked there, it was usually drying the dishes or stacking them.
Mm-hmm.
Or she'd have certain ones she'd want to do things, and she'd usually give me the job setting mats on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Every table had to be set just perfect before anybody came in the door.
Isn't that something? You don't see that.
They rang the bell. When the bell rang,
mm-hmm.
better be on the porch, ready to come in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were late, coming down for meals. Sometimes, you know, it just get looked at, maybe don't do it again, but maybe at the head of the table, hold her finger up. You'd know that she noticed you late, mm-hmm. even though we'd try to slip in.
Yeah.
But, now that was a real, real good experience. One of the things that stands out in my mind when I first went, that I never will forget, as I said, I was 10, my sister was 8, mm-hmm. and we slept in double bunk beds. There was like 8 girls, 6 or 8 girls in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And so the house mother always, you know, when we got ready for bed, the house mother in charge would come in and tell us goodnight. She'd have us to say our prayers before we went to bed, and then she'd say, "Now good night, lights are out, no more talking." And we weren't allowed to talk or laugh or anything after. Of course, you know how little girls are. We'd have bound to giggle sometimes, and if we did, here she'd come. She'd hear us.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd say, "I said it's quiet." And she'd try to find out who it was that was making the noise. And but Thelma was going to sleep on, she slept on the lower bunk because house mother said she might roll out of the top,
mm-hmm.
which was a good idea. I could have rolled out of the top too, I'd be 10 years old. But we waited till the lights were out and everything was quiet. And I could hear Thelma down on the lower bunk. She'd go, she was sobbing. She was so homesick. She was daddy. She was a daddy girl.
Yeah. Okay, you were talking about your sister crying.
Oh, yes.
At
the when I'd hear her sobbing, I'd get up and move down in the bed with her
mm-hmm.
and sleep with her till she went to sleep. Mm. Sometimes I'd go to sleep, too, and just hope that Mrs. Knott didn't come in and find us in the bed together because we'd have got a punishment if we had, because we weren't allowed to sleep together.
Mm-hmm.
But I never will forget that because she was so homesick. She was a daddy girl, and she'd cry for daddy nearly every night.
Mm-hmm.
But then we both got adjusted. And, of course, I guess you've heard we only got to go home during
mm-hmm.
certain weekends, like Thanksgiving weekend and UKREA weekends or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to be sure somebody was going to take our place working if there was assignments, you know, to be done.
So about how many times do you think you went home a semester?
Yeah, twice. And then at Christmas time, most of the time, we'd usually get to go home Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Still, but I guess that would be awful rough. I mean,
we had an uncle that lived over on Ball at Vest.
Mm, yeah.
And that was a horseback ride from Hyman to Vest then, no car. And occasionally, on a Saturday, if it was convenient for him, he might send a horse for us and take us over. We'd get to spend the night back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But that would just be occasionally, not a regular visit or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a real treat to, you know, to get away because it was a good break.
Yeah. Did you all go to town much? Or?
Yeah, but we had to have permission. Always had to have permission to go to town because they had to know where we were at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And usually told how long to be gone. You know, what do you have to go for?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be back in 30 minutes or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't town oriented. We were more oriented to the campus and
mm-hmm.
responsibilities there.
Yeah. I just think that's interesting that you had this school that you're running and all these children living there. I can't imagine the responsibility that like Miss Watts and people had. Looking back on it now, would you say it was a good idea? It was that strict and that structured?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because each dormitory had a house mother who was in charge, and she knew where all the children were going to be supposed to be all the time. If they were out of school, then she, you know, wanted to know where they were. They were either on work assignment or whatever, not supposed to be. out of reach of knowing where they were in case something happened. But, and I lived at where the guest house is now, the hospital. You ask where I lived. I lived in that building 1 year. Mm-hmm. Besides all the times I was patient and working there. I worked there too.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any?
See, that was the infirmary. Excuse
right,
me.
Right, right.
The infirmary. And we worked in that, they had to keep that immaculate clean.
What was the infirmary like? Did y'all, I've heard the story of the tonsils. I know somebody's telling me how they would just be round up and everybody get their tonsils taken out. did you have to do that? Or?
Dr. Brown came from Hazard.
Uh-huh.
He'd have a time set when he could come over there and have a clinic
mm-hmm.
and screen everybody at the same time those that had to have tonsils out to him. I had mine out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an experience I won't forget.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember the details, but I do remember that I hemorrhaged and they had to keep me in the infirmary there for a while. It seems like Dr. Brown had to come back and do a mm-hmm. stitch or two in my throat. I don't remember, but anyway, I gave him a scare.
I'd say so.
And the beds were... There was somebody in the infirmary nearly all the time. There was, maybe you've been told. I can't remember now exactly the number of wards or rooms they had and how many beds in the rooms, but it seems like there was two rooms on the right next to the infirmary where they had cots or beds, you know, for patients. And then if it was an overflow, they went across the hall into another room.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that was cool.
What kind of medical care do you think that was available for you all?
We had a registered nurse there at all times. And if you had to have any kind of medication, for instance, Thelma and I both were undernourished, I guess, when we went there. We were real thin.
Mm-hmm.
And we took, we were two of the several that had to have cod liver oil regular every day for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to go up there and the nurse would give us cod liver oil and we'd better stand right there and she'd fill a tablespoonful of cod liver oil, put it in your mouth.
Make sure you swallowed it.
Yeah. Miss Siegenthaler was the first nurse that was there when we went. Now, Miss Todd, I think, was there before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember her, but I've seen pictures of Miss Todd. Miss Siegenthaler was from Switzerland, I guess. And she was.
Yeah, I think somebody else mentioned her.
My sister didn't, she didn't appeal to her at all. And she told her she had to take this cod liver oil. It wasn't flavored cod liver oil. I mean, it was just plain old cod liver oil, you know, fishy.
Ooh.
And she put a tablespoonful of that cod liver oil in her mouth one time, and she said, now swallow it. And Thelma said, she let it blow all over. She didn't swallow it.
I'd say not.
But she, you know, you would have thought she would have slapped her and said, now, here you go and take another one. But she didn't do that. But it made her mad. She was angry.
I'd say so.
Yeah. But we had good medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And if we needed a doctor, of course, Dr. Kelly and Dr. Duke were the two doctors
mm-hmm.
there. And then Rose Craft was a nurse, too, if they needed additional help. I guess she came in. I can't remember that she did, but yeah, we had good medical service and was taking care of it all the time. If we had a temperature, we had to go in the hospital.
Well,
we stayed in until that temperature was gone.
Mm-hmm. I guess that was pretty dangerous though, then, if you got a high fever.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm sure they, Miss Watson, Miss Stone was seeing that everybody's taken care of.
Well, tell me about, I guess, kind of what Miss Watts was like. I'm sure you're around her a lot.
Oh, Miss Watts was She was demanding, and when she assigned you something to do, you knew to do it, mm-hmm. which I appreciate to this day. She was a real firm person. Now, Miss Stone, we didn't know that much about her because we didn't have day-to-day relations mm-hmm. with her. We'd see her occasionally, and I took her meals to her a lot. She lived at Hillside, and of course, she ate very few meals in the dining room. Mm-hmm. And I remember carrying her meals. And any of the faculty that lived there that couldn't come to the dining room, we'd always, Ms. Elkins would always pack a basket for them. Mm-hmm. She had these lunch baskets that she packed the lunches in, and mm-hmm. certain girls that did that, they'd always pack the lunches for those that were. And same way with the teachers on duty. We had, when school was in session, we had to take lunches to the teachers who were on duty during lunch hour. Mm-hmm. And that was another responsibility that some of the girls did.
Sounds like y'all stayed busy.
Pardon?
It sounds like y'all stayed busy.
Busy all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't much time to be idle.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about living on campus, and I want to talk a little bit now just about the school part, about being a student there. Mm-hmm. I guess I've just been asking people about their teachers and classes, or maybe I think the best thing, just what stands out in your mind about your school years there, maybe a class or
Well, we were, we had gone to a thing that I remember, I guess more than anything, is we had gone to a one-room school in the country, mm-hmm. out of Erie, and we went back one grade because we wanted to be sure that, you know, that we were progressing as we should. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a room where there's eight grades, you're bound to miss a lot. So mm-hmm. I started in the fourth grade. Miss Vera Manshart was my teacher. And Thelma was third grade, I guess, so she was one year behind me. And we were in the old grade school building. The fourth grade was on the second floor. And then I guess the first grades were down on the lower floor, I think they were. And when they when you had recess, or when the classes were dismissed, then they went out a lower door on the lower floor, mm-hmm. and they weren't run over by the older children up above.
Yeah.
And we were on the second floor, fourth grade. Then we progressed from one room to the next. Miss Kiesel was a fifth grade teacher, I believe. Then we went on up to eighth grade, which was on top floor. Mm-hmm. And usually there was a one who was what we'd call principal now of the grade school. And Mr. Potter, I guess several of you mentioned Mr. Mm-hmm. Potter, he was a strict one. And if there was any little mean boys, like some of the town boys, what we call town boys, ones from out yeah. in town who were mischievous, and they usually they were just mischievous, some of them as they can be, because they used to just love to pester the settlement children. Yeah.
What would they do?
Anything. They just, you know, anything to, like with your long hair, they'd pull your hair or, you know, slip up behind you and do something just to mm-hmm. aggravate you. But if they were mischievous in school mm-hmm. and was sent to Mr. Potter,
right.
Well, at that time they went down to his office and we could hear a paddle. I mean, they paddled back then, too.
Okay, let me turn this over. Okay, you were talking about people getting punished.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mr. Potter was a good hand to punish. He was a real good one. Usually he and an assistant worked on the top floor, 7th and 8th grade. Mm-hmm. So it would, I can't remember. There was a Dyer, Benny Dyer, I believe he was one of them at one time. Mm-hmm. And maybe Devon Pratt. I think they worked in the top level with 7th and 8th graders. At that time, when I was in grade school. And then when we went on to high school, that was over there where the old high school building is. Mm-hmm. And that was, that time, we just thought that was a beautiful building. It really was.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. The rooms were all so nice all the way around. The principal's office was right on the right as you went through the iron gates. And then all of, and then around to the right was the library and the home ec room. Mm-hmm. And that was, took in the right-hand side of that wing. And then the other classes all around the building. But the inside for the green, for the grass and so on was, that was always so nice. They kept that real pretty. Mm-hmm. And sometimes outside, they'd take classes outside, you know, and have meetings out in that open spot. So nice. And the library was especially, we liked that. That was where they had study hall a lot. And around the walls was all the graduation pictures from the first graduation. When mm-hmm. when I lived there, they were lined all the way around.
Wow.
All framed, just like they are now in the home
mm-hmm.
frames. It's a interesting place to go to and see the graduates and all that had been there before.
Mm-hmm. What were, maybe what was a couple of your favorite classes that you had? I guess talking about high school years, or maybe just,
well,
maybe ones that stick out in your mind that you enjoy especially.
I liked English class, and there were several. One I didn't like was algebra. I never did do any good in algebra. Pearl Combs was an algebra teacher, and he was more of a coach than he was a teacher. So I just never did get my algebra. But I liked home ec. We had some wonderful home ec teachers, and that was where we got some real good training.
Was yeah, how important do you think that was?
Pardon?
So how important do you think that was?
Very
a lot
important.
Of people talk
Very
about
important.
That.
Mm-hmm. And when hospital building was practice home,
mm-hmm.
we had we were assigned there, and if we lived there, we cooked our own meals
mm-hmm.
and made our own menus and everything under the supervision of the home ec teacher who lived there,
mm-hmm.
and then she taught home economics for the classes, and that was and we had to serve the alumni banquet. And it was, when we served, it was, I mean, you had served just so-and-so. You were trained to carry the trays in a certain way. Somebody else take the plates and put them in. You had to serve from the left of each person on the table and serve one thing at a time. And then, and the tables had to be set. You learned how to set the tables just so-so. All that had to be done just so. It depended on whether you got an A or B or whatever you got in that class.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you performed for the different functions. But it was good practice just to, in the practice home, that was real good for anybody, especially if they were going to, if they were getting married after high school or
mm-hmm.
whatever, they were ready to set up their own housekeeping practically.
So I guess it sounds like to me you learned, when you're in school, you didn't learn just things you get out of a book. You
That's
learned
right.
a lot of other things.
Practical living experiences of all
mm-hmm.
kinds. And how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and thank you, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And men were always, the boys were always, you never saw a settlement boy but what he shook hands with you. Or he took you, he never sat with a hat on either. And they went in the dining room, they left their hats or caps outside. They never were allowed to go inside with a cap on. And if they met a lady with a cap or hat on, that was tipped their hat to them. Because these women that came in from up east, they were real ladies, and they expected all the students to be gentlemen and ladies when they left there, or at least they tried to see that they were.
What did you think about that, having those ladies come in?
I think it was good. I think it was real good. Uh-huh. Yeah. We looked up to them. And I still do. I look up. When I think about it, how much I appreciate them. They were real. I don't know what would have happened to us had we not gone there, because we really got training we'd never gotten anywhere else. And I don't think we'd ever gotten it at home, because my dad married while we were going to school, but he married after a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And we understood that faculty, Miss Watson, Miss Stone, would tell us, how to respect our stepmother and how much she meant to our dad, and for us not to forget that, and we did.
Mm-hmm. So they took an interest in...
In each family,
yeah.
And they knew all the families, usually. Knew the circumstances at home and so on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were quite interested, I think, in anyone who lived in the settlement. Mm-hmm. And if they were not willing to perform or live according to the rules and regulations, and they can expect to go home.
So did they, I guess
they sent a lot of them home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd say they probably had to.
They had to, because they just couldn't tolerate some of the things, that son. Too bad we don't have places like that today to take care of some people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much right now, that's mm-hmm. going on. But.
Who are some other teachers? Maybe we've talked about Miss Watts and Miss Stone. Who are maybe some people that stand out in your mind? Maybe not even teachers, but people that you came in contact with.
Miss Cobb. Mm-hmm. Ann Cobb. I'm sure you've heard a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Everybody just loved Ann Cobb. I could just name a lot of them. And, of course, Pearl Combs' wife. She was one of the best English teachers that had been there. Edie K. Smith. She was a real good teacher. I had history under her. And they were all, most all of them were very firm with the students they had to perform. Mamie Hadley was home ec teacher for several years. When I was at practice home, Miss Hadley was home ec. And she was, very, very good. I have pictures of a lot of those. I guess you all have all those pictures at the settlement, unless they got burned up, of everybody.
I don't know. We'll probably have to go back and call people and ask to borrow pictures, I'm not sure.
I'm sure you have one of Miss Cobb.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I have her book autographed, mm-hmm. and then her picture, one or two pictures in it.
Yeah.
But, house mothers, little girls' house mothers. We had Miss Nash, Miss Knott. They were both well liked. Miss Tudor, she was at Hillside. She was house mother there when I was a girl living at Hillside. And the boys could tell you who all was. Miss Jones, there was a Miss Jones at Eastover for boys' house mother, and a Miss Pratt. Miss mm-hmm. Pratt was the only one that I knew on campus that owned a dog.
Well, what kind of dog was she having?
She had a Dalmatian, mm-hmm. I think. That's what the
ones with the black and white.
Black Dalmatian. And white, yeah, big Dalmatian. And I guess the only time when she'd walk over to the meals, she'd usually leave him on the porch, but she'd usually lead him over and leave him on the porch. That's when he got his exercise, I guess, more than any time, except during the day, maybe while students were in school, she'd get out and walk him. So. Mm-hmm. But she was crazy about her dog. And she's one who was influenced. What's her name? A girl who went from, she wasn't in the settlement, I don't think. I could be wrong. She could have been in the settlement, but she lived over on Carr. Mm-hmm. But Miss Pratt was the one that influenced her to go to New York. She was a model. Have you heard about her? What was her name? And she came back. Let me see if I can tell you. If you ever interview Shirley Noble, she's in Louisville now, okay. But she should be back here, be here sometime this summer. She was a good friend of hers, and she's got a sister that was there at the alumni last year that lives over Carr. And she can tell you who she married. She married some star or somebody.
So she was influenced by this teacher?
Miss Pratt influenced her in going to New York because she was a pretty girl.
Yeah.
Very attractive. So she went up and made a model out of her. And I'm trying to think. Mr. Steele lived there at the Eastover when I worked there. And I told him not too long ago, I don't know whether he remembers or not, but I told him, I said, I don't know how many times you got clean socks because I won't keep your socks washed for you. We had room, we cleaned the men's, the boys' rooms and the faculty's rooms. So we cleaned Mr. Steele's room, tried to keep it clean for him. And if he left his dirty socks laying somewhere, so I'd always wash his socks and have them clean for him. Whether he remembers that or not.
Yeah. What do you remember about Mr. Steele from back then? What was he like?
I had typing under him. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. That's about the only typing training that I had was under Mr. Steele. Mm-hmm. He was, he came there about the same time we did.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we just felt like he was one of the family. In fact, we were all just one big family when we were in the dining room. Mm-hmm. Maybe a few faculty members that we'd shun a little bit because we, you know, wasn't too crazy about them. But, you know, we respected, or at least our family did. And Miss Burns was one some of the boys had a little trouble with because she was firm with them. She really was strict on them too, on those grounds and the dairy and so on. She had to be.
Yeah.
Have you interviewed Walter Prater? He was there in school.
Mm-mm.
He lives here in town.
I probably got his name on my list.
Yeah, Walter Prater, David Begley, he was there. And I think of somebody else. Anyway, they worked under Miss Burns, so they can give you information about Miss Burns and how the grounds and the settlement grounds all had to be kept, as well as the barn and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I can't think of anything else to.
I was just going to say, if there's probably, I'm sure there's, I mean, there's no way I could ask you every question about being there, but is there maybe something that, a time or people that stick out in your head that I haven't asked you about from your years at the settlement, or maybe just certain memories that you have that I might not have referred to that you'd want to share with me?
Well, I might mention some names and then other people might can give you more information on them.
That'd be fine.
Frances Grover, have you had anybody to mention Frances? She was principal for a while. I believe she was principal when I went back to teach. See, after I graduated, then I went to, or do you want to know that?
Yeah, did you teach at the settlement school? Yeah, tell me about that.
I went to Raztown, Dunsey Chemical School, after graduating. That was a, I was influenced by Miss Watts to do that. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'd been home place. I worked there some during the summer. Mm-hmm. But, I guess when I was going to high school, I worked at home place some during the summer because they had gardens and farmhands down there. And I cooked there at the log house. Mm-hmm. Helped cook and serve meals to the work-ins there at home place. And had that experience there as well as on the farm at home. And then after I graduated, Miss Watts influenced Sophia Smith, who was a cousin of mine, and me to go to Brasstown. Mm-hmm. So we were there. Sophia stayed a year. I stayed over a year. I stayed on and worked in the weaving department. And we had training in wood carving, weaving, and folk dancing, you know, all that. That was a real good experience there. And then when I finished, well, I stayed on for about, a year and a half. Went on the second year when I came home. And I hadn't been home very long until at Lee's College, the phys ed director was drafted to go to war. And like all the other schools, they were running short of help and these men were having to leave. So he came and interviewed me and asked me if I'd go to Lee's College and work as phys ed director in his place and go to school at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I accepted that, and that's what I did. I was on the junior faculty there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And there was three other girls on the junior faculty. We were what they call a junior faculty because others were all gone.
Yeah.
And so I finished at Lee's, and when I finished at Lee's, I hadn't been home very long until, I guess, Miss Watts got in contact with me and wanted me to come to Hyman and teach weaving and
so
recreation. So I went there and was recreation director for 2 years and taught folk dancing and weaving. We had weaving in that building where the kindergarten was.
Mm-hmm.
Downstairs was a weaving room there. So I taught the high school girls.
So they still were taught, like, weaving and folk dancing and things about this area were still taught, as well as the regular
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Was that really taught anyplace else in the county or in any of the other schools?
Not that I was aware of. I went out to the rural schools.
Okay.
And I taught playground games and so on, you know. I worked with them. And I did that with the Junior Red Cross in the summer, during the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went back to Brasstown for folk school. Two or three times after that, and to Maria. We've always gone to Maria for the folk festivals
mm-hmm.
every year. But I was there 2 years, and my dad ran for sheriff. Then I came over and I worked for him. 4 years he was in the office, so I was on the deputies working there. And that got me interested in social work. That was a real experience in social work,
mm-hmm.
working there. So then when I left that, I went to UK and started in social work training there.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it sounds like to me that kind of education has always been important to you, like your continuing education.
Yeah, my dad was interested in, once we got started, he was interested in all of the children getting an education.
Right.
And wanted to see us through, so I was trying to fulfill his wishes and my own. That was something that Ms. Watts was always pushing for, too.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my final question is, what has the settlement school meant to you? I mean, obviously it means a lot to you, but just kind of looking back now on the opportunities and things that you've gotten to do?
Well, I'm sure there's goals that I've had in mind, you know, that I didn't exactly get to complete, but I always had a goal of finishing college, which I did. I've worked almost 20 years after I had the first, third year at university. And then when funds would run out of a program, which it was defunded, then there was just cut off. You didn't get to continue retirement or anything. Then I went back to school. I finished, didn't get my degree until 72. I was an old lady when I finished my high school, but that was my goal. I mean, college, but that was my goal to finish, which I did. And I don't think I'd ever been pushing for a degree if it hadn't been for the settlement, because that's where we got our start. And I was determined that I was going to do it. But if I hadn't been the settlement, as I said, I don't know what would have happened to us, because without a mother at the time, and Dad was so upset when Mother died. I can remember seeing him standing leaning against the paling fence and that went around our yard at that time. You know what a paling fence is. I can remember seeing Dad leaning over that and just crying his heart out. And I, as little as I was trying to think, you know, why he was upset. And I always thought after that, he felt like he caused that. Because she died in childbirth. And I always had, it just seemed like I always had a, when my sister had her first child, I was just worried to death. Had a fear of her having that baby, afraid she was going to die, you know.
Yeah.
And she was the only whole sister I had at the time. But anyway, I have just gone from one thing to the other. But as I said, I don't think I've been successful in anything. I felt like I've been successful in social work. And that's what I majored in. And I loved it. I guess because I was... from the very beginning, these women that came, regardless of where they came from, and they'd be new ones different times, they always accepted us as we were, you know, and tried to help us. And that was what I learned from the time I was a child. So I just continued, always happy about helping other people. It's been an aim and a goal.
Yeah. Sounds like you've done it.
Well, I've tried until I was diagnosed with cancer. That shot me down. And I felt like I, at that, you know, nobody knows what it's like. Until they get that word thrown at them. And then, but then I was determined I was going to, after so long a time, I was determined I was going to, I just tried to think positive about it. I was going to overcome it.